All out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. You know it, so sing. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Need a little Christmas now. Now. In the 1966 musical MAME, that song is actually sung not at Christmas time, but during a sweltering Georgia July. MAME, who came from New York City of all things, has lost a fortune in the 1929 stock market crash, and she has come to live in Georgia to marry Beauregard something or other. She's lost a brother in World War II, and her planter owner husband has died in a tragic accident, leaving her desperately grasping for some elusive joy. So haul out the holly, because we need Christmas right now, this very minute. But don't let the song's peppy tune fool you if you follow the story. Listen to MAME's angst. Because I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older, and I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder. Need a little Christmas now. Now. That one little three-letter word could sum up our culture. Now. We want what we want, feel entitled to what we want, when we want it, which is now. By some deceit or trickery this year, Black Friday apparently has been the whole month of November. Because no matter how early something starts, we have this instant gratification need for it to be even quicker, sooner. And whatever the hot gadget is, whether it's the iPhone, whatever number we're on now, or whatever, all I know is I need to have it first. I need to post it first on social media. First out of the gate claims the day, controls the narrative. You wait, you late. You snooze, you lose. Nope. The word is now. National debt, education debt, marketing in general, in the information age are all about now. Real time. It's the only thing people will go for. On demand. And yeah, try 21 months into a pandemic telling folks they need to wait yet a while longer to get back to normal, whatever that means. No masks, no distancing, no protocols, even if your reasoning includes people will die. Again, nope. Rather risk my health and yours than to wait on the all clear. So much compelling power in that tiny word, now. The opposite of which, of course, is the nastiest four-letter word imaginable, the dreaded W-A-I-T. Did I say it out loud? Waiting has no place in the instant gratification world. We are fulfillment people, no doubt about it, which makes the Advent wreath and these scripture lessons today, this season, as absurdly counterintuitive and countercultural as it gets. Now, I have a suspicion that every congregation is convinced on some level, at least early in December, that if you Google the word Grinch, a Lutheran pastor's picture will appear, because while parishioners prefer, in general, Christmas carols and warm fuzzies and sweet little Jesus, we pastors torture them every Advent instead with judgment, John the Baptist, brood of vipers, and the cataclysmic end of the age. Advent is about Christ's coming, all right, but not so much as the baby in the manger, as the judge at the end of all time, for which the clarion call of the scriptures and the church is watch, wait, prepare. Another seasonal tune applies, you know, you better watch out. Well, okay, but not because Santa Claus is coming to town. Jesus is coming to town, and we're to pay attention to the coming one's promise to do justice. So as St. Paul admonishes the Thessalonians, that you may be blameless and holy when Jesus comes. Frustrating words. When we're really emotionally all with anti-mame and wanting some fulfillment, some Christmas feel-good right now. Obviously, Christmas, God becoming one of us, is foundational and cause for celebration. Celebrate, we will. The challenge is our reticence, or maybe entire unwillingness, to embrace the spiritual necessity of waiting patiently and preparing intentionally. Advent's penitential purpose is to prepare us for the coming of Christ in much the same way that the penitential season of Lent prepares us for the joy of Easter, by waiting, hoping, repenting. Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights prefers to pray to 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus because, he argues, I like the Christmas Jesus best. Well, who wouldn't, compared to the judge who comes at the end of all things? But if he's coming, how might we prepare? I suppose much as we would if company were coming to our own homes, by cleaning the house, by getting things in order. Only in Advent, the house is me, the house is you. Advent is a precious gift, not a punishment to the church. In this liminal space of pandemic, and between Christ coming once in Bethlehem and once again at the end of all time, feel-good contrivances simply can't eliminate faithful watching and waiting and preparing as spiritual disciplines. If fulfillment is all we're about, then we lose hope itself. Advent teaches us, requires us to hope. And especially given the past 21 months for all of us, much less what you've been through individually, Lord knows we need hope when it feels like the rug is being yanked entirely out from underneath us. As we light the first Advent candle today, Advent lights a fire under us to wait and watch, prepare, repent, and hope. So, yes, we want a little Christmas right this very minute, but we need a little Advent now. Amen.